this morning in his presence. Before you're seated, would you turn and greet those around you? And if you're on the wings, because we're in a sightline kind of drama presentation this morning, we would encourage you to move towards the middle a little bit, okay? So turn around, greet those around you, and we'll get started here in just a minute. About 90 seconds, we're going to worship through our giving. Do that kind of towards the start of our service today, as we let the rest of the program just kind of move fluidly and take our hearts and minds towards the lesson of the day. If you are busy with us, let me back up. On your seat is a postcard. And it's advertising our next series that's starting next weekend, Urban Legends. And I like how it talks about, city legends. How cities, there's alligators and sewers and all that kind of stuff. Stuff that gets made up along the way. Well, sometimes that happens in our spiritual journey, and all of a sudden there's myths out there that you think are real about the journey with God, and you really don't know where they came from. It's kind of like that verse, godliness is next to cleanliness, or cleanliness is next to godliness. Is that in the Bible? And you find out, oh, it's not. Where'd that come from? From the South, I think. But anyway, we're going to look at debunking some spiritual myths, okay? And so, some mom made it up, jumping on their kid. That's where it came from. What we want you to do is feel free to take those postcards from the seats around you, the one you were, that was on your seat, and then use that to invite some other people to this next series starting next weekend, Urban Legends, okay? Today, if you're visiting with us for the very first time, welcome to Mount. Some of you came as a result of an invitation, and if that's the case, you kind of know where this day is headed. Some of you are just trying Mountain View for the first time, and you're wondering what in the world is going on. Well, this is the end of a month-long series that we've been in called Ancient Renewal. And we've been looking at the issues within the book of Acts that have been used and practiced by the church for over 2,000 years now. And looking at, are they still applicable today? Today is kind of a culmination of that series, as well as kind of raising it to the next level through what we call our block party. And so whether you knew it when you came on the property today or not, today is a block party, and it's going to be going to about 2:30. We'd encourage you to not only stay for it, but if you have neighbors that you'd like to invite, it is free of charge. There's all kinds of food out there to eat, as well as all kinds of games and stuff, and just time to hang out and get to know other people, okay? So with that, right now we are going to worship through our giving. We'd like to ask our greeters to come forward and receive our morning offering. If you're busy with us, we'd just like for you to chill out right now. We're not after your money. We want you to know that you're our guest today. If you have that white card filled out in your program, fold that in half and place that in the offering bag. That'd be great. Or you can hang on to it. We'll collect it a little bit later as well. As we studied the book of Acts this year, or this month, we've been asking ourselves, are some of these truths things that can make a difference in us today? And I think this program has been written by Hans Dahnkehler, our director of our video and arts ministries, and I think he's just kind of nailed it on the top of the head there with some incredible truths that can make huge differences in our lives. So as this program begins, just start to be very attentive with all your senses as you learn about what it's like to take God's truth and apply them in your everyday life. Okay? that, I'm going to ask a blessing on our time together and we'll begin. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. And Lord, we just ask that you would take this program and not only bless it, but take it and kind of nourish our hearts and minds right now. Teach us your ways. Help us understand some of the ways that we need to see ourselves in this program and some things that maybe need to dramatically change in us. And then some other ways where we maybe just need the strength of your spirit's nudge to take a next step. Father, we thank you for the dozens of people who put tremendous time into this to share this truth with us today. Bless us in Jesus' name.
Good morning. Nice talking to you too. Always a pleasure. Hi. Well, this is where we live now. You probably already know this, but we moved in here about 3 months ago. I guess Ohio was too small for Mom. After Dad left us. That was 2 years ago this month. I was 12. But like I said, you probably already know that. In fact, I'll let you know all about these people around here. Why? Because our lives are probably a lot like yours. Our neighborhood is probably a lot like yours. Like that lady next door. I'll let you know someone like her. Every morning, she waits by the window for the paper, gives me a quick wave, and hurries back inside as if she's trying to get a rain on her. My brother and I are pretty sure she's the Wicked Witch of the West. Come back! And you know she's the devil.
I'm talking to you, young man.
Yes, ma'am?
Don't patronize me, young man.
I wasn't patronizing.
I'm getting tired of having to tell you this. But the newspaper was once again in my legs.
I spent hours on my hands and knees making sure my mind looks the loveliest in the neighborhood.
And I don't have the time or the patience for it.
For fortunately, there was no damage done. And I do appreciate your punctual delivery.
Good morning.
Good morning.
You better not let it happen again, or I'll be writing a letter to the newspaper. This is my final warning, young man.
The name's Wes, for the 50th time. Of course I don't know her name. She's just the devil lady that haunts 222 Ranchview Road and yells at me no matter how close the paper comes to her precious flowers. Oh, yeah, and that guy in the house next door? That's Mr. Williams. I don't really know him. He's pretty busy and he's not around much. But my brother Steve is in love with his daughter Piper.
Good morning, Wes.
Hey, did Steve get his license yet? And I'm pretty sure she's into Steve, too. No, I think Mom's taking him after school.
Wes, honey, can you please get your backpack? You're going to be late for school.
Mom, stop calling me that.
Hey, Runt, I'm supposed to drive today. If you ruin it for me, I will kick you. Hey, Piper, I didn't see you there.
Hi, Steve.
Makes you sick, doesn't it? Oh, watch this. Good morning, Pastor Bill.
excuse me?
The old folks home, you know, the meals for the elderly?
Right. Right. Well, I think that's an excellent idea, Will.
West.
Right. West, of course. Well, I'm sure you young people have great intentions with that.
Yes, sir, we do have great intentions with it.
Well, I'm glad to hear it. That's the spirit. Well, good day, then. See you Sunday.
Was that the answer? 2 weeks ago, I came to our youth group, and he talked to us about how the early church worked together, how they helped each other out to do something big. And then he told us that we should do the same. But I wonder if he really meant it. I mean, he only lives 2 doors down, and I'm pretty sure he's already forgotten my name. Just like everybody else around here. Okay, by now I'm sure you're probably wondering why I'm telling you all this. Well, this is the prologue. The prologue to our story.
A story about our neighborhood. A story.
Of healing and renewed faith. Of enemies becoming friends.
Of revelation.
Of forgiveness. Of love.
Of youth.
Of the old becoming new again. It's a story
of a lovely lady!
No. It's a story of how a tragedy and a comedy became a community.
And that's
all. Listen, everyone. Nobody answered. That really neighborhood that hadn't happened in the 6 months since we moved in. Somebody actually cared.
Yes.
sudden and new. I felt the moment and laid eyes on you. My pulse is rushing, my head is reeling, my face is flushing. What is this feeling?
Children studying together. Next thing you know, it'll be pink flamingos and gnomes.
There's no law against us sitting here.
Good point. I'll have to write a letter to the Homeowners Association. I see that one of my letters has paid off. Finally getting around to fixing that garage. What an eyesore.
It's been 3 days.
3 days? 3 days! Chris was killed, buried, and raised in 3 days.
What?
Isn't that right, Pastor?
Yes, that is right. Quite right.
This is ridiculous.
I'm sorry, but
nothing to do with Jesus.
And what is that supposed to mean?
I'm sure it didn't mean anything, ma'am.
Margaret! My name is Margaret.
Margaret? We're just trying to get this garage door fixed as soon as we possibly can.
Well, it's about time. It's bringing down our property values. That and your son riding his bicycle up and down the street at all hours. And those teenage lawn ornaments you choose to keep outside.
Excuse me, you have absolutely no right to bring my children into this conversation. It's me, I'm just as much right to be here.
Yeah.
giant.
Yeah. My husband's business is failing. Our insurance is about to expire, and David's drugs are so expensive. We're selling everything.
There's gotta be some body or organization that can help.
I don't know. I've tried before I know to try. I've asked before I know to ask. We've just run out of options.
Maybe not. Maybe we're the option.
I don't know. I just know he's my son. I have to do something.
First century church wasn't a lot different than most of us. People who lived in the same city did business with each other. Anyone went to school, garage doors went up for their chariots. Somehow they grew apart. Somehow there wasn't that connection. And yet, what we find as we've studied Acts 2:42 together is that when people started following Jesus, they started not only seeing God different, but each other. You see, we sang a song earlier at the beginning of our service, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength." And most people that either go to church or knows of someone who's going to church can fully relate to that. That it's probably this God thing, and what you believe about God, and what you're taught about God, and how you learn to love God. And that's not wrong. That's pretty much all. But you see, Jesus was asked the question, what's the most important law and all the commandments? And he said to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then he continued. And the second is to love your neighbor as yourself. Following Jesus would have been a lot less complex if he would have just stopped with number one. Learning to love each other can get pretty tough, especially between stares and broken conversations and hurt feelings. We can be pretty cruel to a neighbor, a co-worker, a classmate, even just a new acquaintance. You can be just so close to a major breakthrough in a friendship, and yet it's those hurt feelings that keep you miles apart. It's those cold stares. It's those icy stares that create the distance. And yet what we've just witnessed in this last set here is that sometimes, and quite often, God will use something broken to begin a journey back to wholeness. You know, it's not always a broken garage door. Sometimes it's a broken heart, a broken marriage, or a broken home. Something broken in need of mending, something in need of a touch, something where you wish, if only God would come through tonight. And often that coming through from Him comes through in the life of a person like you or me. You see, it's just like God to take something broken to start a journey towards wholeness. In fact, each week here at Mountain View, we're reminded of that. Each week we gather around what's called the Lord's Supper. It's a very simple meal. You might even call it a snack. But it's something that we find in the book of Acts that has woven the people of God together for over 2,000 years. And it's centered around brokenness. You see, in just a few minutes, our servers will be passing trays to you. And right in the center of the tray will be broken pieces of unleavened bread. They were set apart to represent the broken body of our Lord Jesus Christ. Surrounding these broken pieces of unleavened bread are little cups of the fruit of the vine. They represent the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Together, the broken unleavened bread and the fruit of the vine, God's pathway to wholeness through the brokenness of Jesus. You see, He was broken for us. He took our brokenness upon Himself. He paid for our brokenness at the cross that we might be whole, that we might be instruments of wholeness, that we might point others to wholeness, that we might come in the midst of their brokenness and point to. So in these next few moments, on behalf of Christ, we invite you to be participants in this holy meal of community, this meal of remembrance around brokenness. But don't get stuck there. Remember, it was given for wholeness, the forgiveness of sins. Not just yours and mine before God, but maybe it's the forgiveness between you and a neighbor, classmate, coworker, a strange family member, somebody that God is reminding you of right now that is broken. So in these quiet moments, reflect on these things that we've been learning from Acts 2:42 and see if they come home to you. Would you pray? Heavenly Father, continue to kind of grow us up in the knowledge of your love, your grace, and your mercy. Help us to understand that every day we make choices. Choices whether to hold something against someone or just to let it go, to extend your mercy and your grace. The choice is to extend brokenness or to extend wholeness. Thank you, Lord, for your incredible grace and mercy, that you would find us in the need of your wholeness and send Jesus as our Savior to rescue us from ourselves and the hurt and the anguish that we cause each other. Point us back to the cross, to Jesus, to wholeness. In Jesus' name we continue to meditate and pray. Saying the greeters are going to come forward right now and pass a basket. And primarily for your communion cup, but if you're visiting with us, you filled out that white card earlier, would you simply fold it in half? You can place that in the basket if you came in late. We did our offering earlier in the service, and if you'd like to put your offering in there, you can do that. We definitely want you to enjoy the afternoon. But we want you to, be mindful of the difference wholeness makes, friendships, relationships, sometimes in entire neighborhoods. And where we want to ask you to look is maybe at some of those simple acts of kindness that have passed you by. so often, we'll know of someone who's hurting. We'll know of someone who's broken. We'll know of an opportunity of brokenness. And yet, we'll go into that self-talk. You know, I don't really have that much time, or I can only do so much. And we talk ourselves out of doing that little thing, thinking it won't really matter that much. But the study of history, it tells us that what happens is when we offer our little, God takes that and in a surprising way can so often take our little and make much of it. And so often it's like that proverbial little snowball at the top of the mountain, and it gets that momentum in it. It just becomes something big. Think about that. About the little things for the broken people in your life. Let's take a look at how those little things came together in 242, 1 year later.
David, I know I speak for all of us when I say that it is great to have you home.
Yeah. The doctor says it's in complete remission.
Oh, yay!
But it would not have been possible without all of you. Actually, all of us. I still don't know most of your names. It's really embarrassing considering all you've done for us. I'm Frank. Donaldson. David's dead. David's married. I'm the one, actually, we're the family that you've been supporting for the last 6 months while I tried to salvage my business. Andrew, Sophia, I don't know how we can repay you.
That's the beauty of it. No need to.
Thank you. Thank you, all of you. The pastor, Andrew, and Sophia, special thanks to you for stopping and listening and not pitying us, but really desiring to step into our lives as neighbors, now as the closest of friends. And I can't believe you're married!
Yeah, thanks. I can't tell you how creepy it is to be dating my new sister.
Well, I know I get to talk a lot on Sundays, but I can't help making a few observations. Try to keep it under an hour faster. I'll do my best. First, and I know I've said this at least 100 times, but I owe all of you an apology. No, really, I do. All my adult life, I've told the church how to live, how to do life together. And I'll be darned if I wasn't doing it myself. But in the past year, I have seen more biblical living from this group than I ever thought was possible, even within the church. And I know not all of you are Christ followers, and I pray for you daily, but seriously, this group, this neighborhood, this new community has taught me something, that one does not have to be physically in the church to be the church. And for that, I thank all of you.
That's true. Would you mind saying your prayer before we start the celebration?
It would be my honor. Heavenly Father, we thank you for bringing David home to us, for slaying his giant, defeating the leukemia in his body, and making him whole. We thank you for saving Frank's business and for Andrew and Sophia's marriage, and what you've done in our community, bringing providing for us, showing us how to truly love on one another, to care for and support each other as you would have us do. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor. Now, before we go on, Andrew and I have some big news we'd like to share with everyone.
Mom, tell me you're not pregnant.
No, Wes, I'm not pregnant. However, we do have some big news that we want to share. My house sold today. Thank you. I know that we've been able to do so much together this past year. David's home now, he's safe. Frank is back at his job. These are all big giants, as the pastor said. It's really allowed us to come together and engage and make a difference for this community, our little world. But we feel like we need to do something more. We want to be proactive instead of reacting to the loss of a job or an illness. These are all worthy causes. But we feel like we want to reach out beyond our community and have an impact. So we are going to set aside some of the proceeds from the sale of the house until we, all of us, our community, can find something beyond ourselves. Something big for this world.
the neighborhood. From all of us.
So that's how our neighborhood really became, well, neighborly. Even the devil lay down the road. So how about you? Anyone with a broken garage door in your community? Oh, I almost forgot. If you want to come to our block party, you're invited. Just go out those doors, pick up your children if you have them, and there'll be free food, games, and plenty of rooms to sit around and be neighborly. Have a good day.